Welcome to Plants, People and Places, the podcast in which we speak with plants people and find out what special connection they have with their plants. In this episode, we speak with Rosie Yeomans, who's an all-round plants person, ex-lecturer and collections coordinator for Plant Heritage. Hello, Rosie. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for asking me.
Lovely to see you. First of all, could you please just introduce yourself to our listeners, please?
So I'm Rosie Yeomans, and I've had a long career in horticulture. Complete nut. Not a total nutcase, but about plants. I live in Hampshire, and I grew up in Hampshire, but not in this part of Hampshire. So I was in the north of Hampshire, and little did I know when I was thinking about going into horticulture that I was right against the sort of nursery stock belt.
Oh, nice.
Surrey, near Bagshot. So there was lots of nursery work going on there, and I come from a family that weren't particularly horticultural, very practical, builders merchants, and we had a little DIY shop towards the end, so my life was very practical, but certainly not plant orientated. So that was me. I had a little patch in the garden and I messed about with it, and my mum sort of encouraged me a bit, but didn't ever see it as a career. I think they thought I should go, to be an academic, but I certainly didn't want to do that. So,
What did get you into horticulture then?
Well, so I just really wanted to do something. I think if I'm honest, I just wanted to be different. Everybody else was, going into some sort of either academic or secretarial or professional world. And I wanted to be practical. That's where I felt was my happy place. And so horticulture sort of just came at me as something that I might forge a career out of. And of course, I was, as a girl in the 70s, it was quite difficult to get in. Employers saw me as a little weedy thing that couldn't possibly lift a bale of peat, which is what it was all about anyway. And I remember my dad trying to help me get a job in the parks department, and they couldn't do that because they didn't have anywhere for a girl to go to the loo.
Oh, really? Gee. Well, hopefully that's changed a bit.
I don't mind going behind a bush. But anyway, in the end, I did get a little job in a local market garden come nursery, and they were fantastic. And the deal with my parents, because I was doing something, I was being quite a maverick, was that I would go and train at some sort of, institution. So, I went off and trained and have never looked back. What a great career. It's just been
brilliant. And where did you train?
Hadlow.
Oh, Hadlow, really?
You. Yes.
Well, I used to work there, so.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I was deputy head gardener.
Wow. Yeah. I did nursery stock production.
Oh, wow.
That was my specialism back then.
Yeah. And, oh, nice.
And during that time, I worked at Bloom's, Bressingham, mostly propagating.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And yes, I loved it, but I could see that really what I wanted to do was go and work in gardens.
Mm.
And so that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah. And I think you were a teacher as well for quite a long time, weren't you?
Yeah. After I'd finished training, I went off and worked for a museum department in the natural history department of a museum in Leicestershire, which had about 8 or 9 historic sites. And I looked after a botanical garden in the north of the city. And I used to have groups of young kids training with me. And I did that for maybe 3 years. And then a whole load of jobs came up for people to work on YTS training through the college.
What is YTS?
It was a youth training scheme.
Okay.
It was a massive scheme to cope with unemployment.
All right.
So for 16-year-olds to go into a scheme. Anyway, I applied for some of these jobs, didn't think for a minute, I would get one, but I got a job doing this, a temporary contract, which turned into a permanent contract and turned into a lecturing post, which Well, it started as a lecturing post, but it, you know, turned into a career really. So I was there for about 30 odd years.
All right. So was that full time, or did you still do gardens and
Yeah. So
was it?
I was full time until I had children, and then I went part time. And as soon as the children were able, you know, were off to school and doing things, I used that. I didn't increase my hours, but I used it to do freelance work.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
You
great.
know, some consultancy and design and odd jobs here and there, because I think when you're teaching, it really I really worry when people are full-time teaching and don't actually get a chance to do much you know, practical stuff
Yeah.
and keep pace. I mean, the jobs are so different now, they just don't have time
No, no.
allocated for staff development.
No, that's right. No, when I was a teacher, it was actually the thing that I missed most was being in a garden, doing stuff with plants as well. And it's although it is horticulture, you do quite often step quite away from that, don't you, then?
So anyway, I think so. I got a good balance. It was great.
Good. Marvelous. So in Hampshire, what is your climate and your soil like?
Oh well, so here I'm just below the Chalk Ridge here. So I'm south of Winchester. We're on clay. My husband's a fish farmer, so we needed somewhere where we could dig, you know, large ponds. He
Yeah.
he grows goldfish, so they're still water
Oh,
ponds.
wow.
So basically, all my gardening. Here, and I have a couple of allotments as well, and I've got a polytunnel down on the farm. All of it's really, really heavy clay, which, of course,
Wow.
as you know, really hard work to get going, but once it's going, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, really fertile, you know, water retentive. It's great stuff if you can bear the work, which
Yes,
I
yeah, it does take a lot, doesn't it?
And so where I grew up in Farnborough, it was sand, basically, you know, totally the opposite.
Yeah, it is then, yeah. But yeah, you still need to add loads to sand as well, of course. Where my mother lives in the Netherlands, it's I think about 30 centimeters of slight topsoil, and under that it's just yellow sand. So that's it. Yeah, lots and lots of feeding there, lots of organic matter, I suppose. So yeah, you have always, by the sounds of it, been a plants person. I know you do quite a lot for plant heritage as well, as collections coordinator for the area you're in. But what originally gave you the plant bug? So what made you think, oh, I love plants, and that is something in horticulture that I want to do more with?
Do you know the first job that I had in the little market garden? It's called Hawley Place Gardens. It's not there anymore. I remember just loving, you know, the pot store. I can visualize it now. One of the first jobs I had was to repot a whole load of primulas. And I don't know if you have ever put a primula root to your nose, but it
No.
smells fantastic.
Oh,
It's
really? What does it smell like?
It's almost sort of antiseptic, but in a
Oh.
perfumed way. No, it's not a bad smell. It's a lovely. Try
I
it. But no,
will. Yeah.
so I remember sort of putting it, sort of having the smell and sort of putting it to my nose, and I just felt like I was in heaven. It was great.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Oh,
So
brilliant.
I mean, there's so many instances like that where, you know, I just thought, you know, why are people sitting in offices when they could be doing this?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do reckon some more people will start sniffing premier roots now, maybe. Hopefully, I'll have a go next time they're in the
Yeah,
bedding department.
you'll like
Some
it.
of them. And then, well, having seen lots and lots of plants, and of course you do help with national collections as well. Is there anything that is your favourite? And it is always very difficult to have one favourite. You might have, but even if it's top three, we'd be quite happy.
That is so difficult. I mean, I'm
Yeah.
herbaceous plants are my thing. I'm on the herbaceous committee for the
Okay.
RHS, and so really focused on those. I'm on a salvia trial at the moment, and the
Oh,
hardy
nice.
salvias I think are fantastic plants, but then they're not my favorite. Probably my favorite comes from even my childhood, where in our garden we had raspberries and Michaelmas daisies. That was
Oh,
about it.
really? Yeah.
And I can remember my mum showing me how to split Michaelmas daisies and, you know, fill the holes with water because we were on sand, and, you know,
Yeah.
replant. And so whilst I'm not keen on the you know, the sort of Symphotrichum and Novibelgii and those, they're a bit clumpy for me. I love the Aster species, and I grow one called Coriensis, which is grown in the shade, so it's really big clump leafy at the bottom, and then straight up flower stems with gorgeous mauve flowers on the top. So typical, but bigger daisy.
Nice.
But grown in the shade, it's just fabulous. It's a
Oh, great.
great plant. So I'd say that you know, my heart is lost to those gentle asters, not the big blousy ones. I like, you know, I'd love to see a display of them, but I like the gentle ones.
Yeah. Oh, no, really not. That sounds good. I'll look that one up actually.
Oh, I can give you some, Philip.
Yeah, next
Oh,
time. Yeah. Oh my God, it isn't too flowery, but maybe a warmer. Yeah.
it'll be all right.
If you, well, also thinking of that, is there any plant that you really do not like, or a plant group even?
Oh, do you know what? I've always had a thing about Lily of the Valley.
Oh, my
I know.
national collection.
I know. It slightly gives me the creeps.
Really? Why is
I knew
that?
that was going to wind you up.
Well, I'm actually giving up the collection, so.
Are you? It's obviously
Yeah.
given you the creeps as well, then. I
Well,
don't know,
it's
there's
more the.
something about it. I have got a little bit in the garden. It's never done well, probably because I look at it going, yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Not
But
even a
then
nice variegated striped one.
so, no, not mad about those.
Oh well, I won't offer you any of my collection
No,
then.
I don't.
No, I only do the variegated and yellow-leaved ones.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So also, we were talking, of course, about the connections we have with certain plants because they give us memories as well. Is there anything, any plant that reminds you of someone or you have a special connection with, and you think, I love that plant because it makes me think of a person or a location?
So I have actually got an example which it makes me smile. I don't particularly love it, it's all right, but it makes me smile because my tutor at Hadlow was a chap called Bruce MacDonald, and I don't know if you've heard of him, but he became quite legendary in the woody plant propagation world. He
Okay.
went to Canada, to Vancouver, where he was, I think, the director at Vancouver Botanic Garden, and did lots of plants introductions. Anyway, I remember he used to get really excited about Norway maples. And so, you know, whilst we're furiously scribbling down notes, and I probably didn't appreciate him enough at the time, but I do now because he is so legendary, and I was very lucky to have him as a tutor. But Ace Crimson King, whenever I see it, I think of Bruce. It's
Overused for many years. Yeah,
what a fantastic introduction.
but it is a beautiful plant, of course. Yeah.
And he, you know, I remember writing it again and again and again in my notes as he was
Yeah.
talking, you know, to, oh, and that and that.
And have you got one in your garden then? Or
No, but I
oh.
did put one in my mother's garden years ago.
Okay. That might be better, yeah. Oh, brilliant, yeah. And have you, well, that might be one of your horticultural heroes even, but have you got any other horticultural heroes?
I mean, I do. So, I mean, Bruce definitely would have been a hero. Although, as I said, I don't think I appreciate it. You know, as a young student, I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, he was great and very knowledgeable, and I learned so much from him. But, you know, I didn't see him as a you know, the legend that he was. Anyway, but I'll tell you who I heard about for years. So even in my first job, they used to go across to List Forest Nursery and buy plants. And my boss would come back and tell me about this fantastic grower called Peter Cat. And so his name just sort of rung in my head. And then when I went to Hadlow, Bruce would talk about this amazing grower called Peter Cat. And so he became really legendary in my head. And
Yeah.
he is. And so he's done lots of introductions, as you know. And of course, I now know him. He's local here,
All
and
right.
he was part of Plant Heritage.
Okay.
He was our president for a while, in fact. But I always find myself totally tongue-tied when I'm around him because he is this legendary
Oh,
Peter Cat.
yes. Yeah.
He's quite a hero. And I remember once, he's also very, you know, a very nice man, charming. But I remember once he calls a spade, and we were in a garden, and he said to me, we were on a visit, and he said to me, "What do you think about this garden, Rosie?" And I said, "Oh, well, I really like the structure of it." And he looked at me and he said, "Yes, we call those trees." I'm thinking, "Oh no, I said the wrong
I'm so
thing."
going to use that when I do a tour next.
Oh, dear.
I know, that's brilliant. And we're talking about tours. I think you quite often go abroad as well. Is it you organise tours, or you're part of
Yes,
them, you go on them at least?
so I used to do it at Spatial for the design students. So I taught planting design for many years, and we used to jump on a bus and go to France, down to Paris to see the parks in Paris, because there's some really iconic design there, and then down to Chaumont, to the garden festival at Chaumont, which is, quite a an out there edgy kind of show. And so that was a trip that I did for years, and to Holland, and then of course lots of trips with students in the UK. But lately I've been doing a trip with my friend David Hurrian and Sarah Cuttle, garden photographer.
Yeah, brilliant people, both of them.
I know, and we go to Italy and take a group to a lovely place on the Tuscan-Umbrian border, and visit a variety of sort of horticultural places. So I tried to not make it just a garden tour, so that there's lots of other bits and pieces as well. So we look at the wild orchids, and then we go to, there's a lovely place that where they conserve apple varieties. They've researched from across Europe, so they've tracked, where these apples, it's a bit like following Johnny Appleseed, where they've come from, and then they're growing them in this valley. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely trip.
And if
So
anyone
that's,
would want to book that, where would
yes,
they
do it
find
through David
information?
Hurren's website.
Well, we can put a link on our social media page as well to that, because I
Yeah,
have seen pictures of it
that'd
and it looks amazing.
be great.
I think you went to Rhodes recently as well, didn't you, to see some orchids, was it? Well, some orchids, quite a lot.
So what I really love to do is to go on a trip which I'm not organizing, so that I can just, get completely into the subject of whatever we're looking at. And so I was in Rhodes with Mariposa, which is a tour, wildlife tour company. They're brilliant. And we went to Rhodes, and we just spent every day on our hands and knees looking at orchids. And it was extraordinary. We saw something like over 50 species. So it was as nerdy as you can imagine. Every evening we gathered and talked about orchids. And then, you'd go to sleep, wake up, think about orchids, get get into the field.
This is how I imagine Fern Society trips as well, actually. Just looking at the finest details of plants. Wonderful.
But so what's great is that you're with a dozen people. We're all nutters, and nobody thinks we are. We all think this is normal. It's great.
You can geek out without being embarrassed. Oh, brilliant. No, that sounds like great fun. And as I said, the trips with David Hurrian as well, they look very, very good. Sarah Cuttle, amazing photographer, did the photography for my book.
Oh, did she?
She's very local to me, and
Of course she is.
she's great. So any listeners, if you do want to go on any garden trips, then I would definitely check out David's website. But that's all for now. Thank you very much, Rosie. Thanks for being on the
Oh,
podcast.
it's been a joy. Really
Thank you very
nice
much. And I look forward to seeing you and catching up about plants soon.
to chat to you.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Philip.